We're reading a Chaitanya Charitamrita here, which we do on Saturdays here in Tallahassee. And, well, Adi Lila, chapter 7, a very important chapter, which was originally published separately, where the rest of the book came out. Prabhupada felt it was really important. It's called the Lord Chaitanya 5 Features. So up to X number 66 today, Adi 7, 66. Adai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Vaita Chandra Jaya Adai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Vaita Chandra Jaya 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 Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Puchila Tomar Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Keshava Bharatira Shisha Hate Tume Danya. Puchila inquired, Tomar, your Nama name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Name Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Keshava Bharatira Shisha, you are the disciple of Keshava Bharati. Tate, in that connection to me, you are Danya, glorious. Kashananda Saraswati then said, I understand that your name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. You're a disciple of Sri Keshava Bharati, and therefore you are glorious. Sampradayika sannyasi tume raha e grami. Ki karena ama sabar na kara darshan. You belong to our Shankar Sampradaya, live in our village, Varanasi. Why then do you not associate with us? Why is it that you avoid even seeing us? A Vaishnava sannyasi, or Vaishnava in the second stage of advancement in spiritual knowledge, can understand four principles, namely the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotees, the innocent, and the jealous. He behaves differently with each. Tries to increase his love for Godhead, make friendship with the devotees, and preach Krishna consciousness among the innocent. But he avoids the jealous who are envious of the Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself exemplifies such behavior, and that is why Prakasha Ananda Saraswati inquired why he did not associate or even talk with him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu confirmed by example that a preacher of the Krishna consciousness movement generally should not waste his time talking with Mayavadi Sannyasi. But when there are arguments on the basis of Shastra, a Vaishnava must come forward to talk and defeat them in philosophy. According to the Mayavadi Sannyasi, the only one who takes sannyas under the disciplic succession from Shankaracharya is the Vedic sannyasi. Sometimes it's challenged that the sannyasis who are preaching in the Krishna consciousness movement are not genuine because they do not belong to Brahmana families. Mayavadis do not offer sannyas to one who does not belong to a Brahmana family by birth. Fortunately, however, they do not know that at present everyone is born a Shudra. Hello, Shudra Sambhava. As we understood that there are no Brahmanas in this age because those who claim to be Brahmanas simply on the basis of birthright do not have minical qualifications. However, even if one is born in a non-Brahmana family, if he has minical qualifications, he should be accepted as a Brahmana, as confirmed by Srila Narada Muni and the great saint Siddhar Swami. Is also stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Both Narada and Siddhar Swami completely agree that one cannot be accepted a Brahmana by birthright, but must possess qualities of a Brahmana. As in our Krishna consciousness movement, we never offer sannyas order to a person whom we do not find qualified to be qualified in terms of the prescribed brahminical principles. Although it's a fact that unless one is a Brahmana, he can't become a sannyasi. It is not a valid principle that an unqualified man born in a Brahmana family is a Brahmana Whereas a Brahmanically qualified person born in a non-Brahmana family cannot be accepted. Krishna consciousness movement strictly follows the injunctions of Srimad Bhagavatam, avoiding misleading heresy and manufactured confusion. So this is another definitive purport. Srila Prabhupada makes it clear that one is a Brahmana not based on birth, but by qualification. Actually, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna lifts the qualifications of Brahmana. Chapter 18, verse 42. Samadama pa socham shantir arjav evacha janavigyan astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. So, samadama pa socham, samas peacefulness, samas sense control. As austerity, Chotan is purity or cleanliness. Then he continues. Shantir Arjavam Evacha. Shantir is a generally tolerance or forgiveness. Arjavam is honesty, straightforwardness. Gyanavigyanam Astikam, knowledge, realization, and religiousness. These are the qualifications by which the Brahmanas work. So Prabhupada would use an analogy sometimes. Use an analogy of a physician. So your father may be a doctor. And if your father's a doctor, it may be more likely that you go on in the medical field, but it doesn't mean that you're automatically qualified to practice medicine just because your father's a doctor. You actually have to go to medical school, you actually have to work as an intern, you actually have to be certified to be a real bona fide doctor. It's not sufficient that your father's a doctor. Nobody would want to have brain surgery from someone whose only qualification was that their father was a brain surgeon. They hadn't studied brain surgery. They hadn't worked as an intern under a brain surgeon. But just because their father was a brain surgeon, they thought they could practice brain surgery. Completely ridiculous idea. And Prabhupada uses that analogy, of course, clear that it's a ridiculous idea. And he makes the point in this purport that Narada, Srila Swami, and Srimad Bhagavatam don't accept that idea. There's a verse that says if one is found, if a Shudra is found to have brahminical qualities, he should be accepted as a Brahmana, and if a Brahmana is found to have Shudra qualities, he should be accepted as a Shudra. So although it is a principle that one should have brahminical qualities to take sannyas, not a principle that one has to be born in a Brahmana family to have brahminical qualities. You can see it's very practical for a sannyasi to have brahminical qualities because one of the brahminical qualities is sense control. And if one is not advanced in sense control, you can't very well be sannyasi. It's supposed to be very sense-controlled and renounced. So it makes a lot of sense that a sannyasi should have brahminical qualities if he wants to maintain his sannyas for any length of time, because brahminical qualities requires the mode of goodness. And to maintain anything of value, important to have qualities of goodness. He said the Lord Vishnu, who's in charge of the mode of goodness, is in charge of maintenance of the universe. as to maintain anything of value spiritually, it requires to be situated in goodness. Therefore, the sannyasi should be first qualified as a brahmana who is perfectly situated in the moment of goodness, and then he can easily maintain his sannyas position. So then in the first paragraph of the purport, Prabhupada talks about why Lord Chaitanya didn't associate with the Mayavadis. And that's because that they are critical of the devotees and their Krishna consciousness movement. And he talked about how there are four different categories of living entities identified by a person in the second stage of advancement in spiritual knowledge, which is called Madhyama Adhikar. And these are four groups of people that the Madhyama can identify are: one, the personality of Godhead; two, the devotees; three, the innocent; and four, those who are envious or averse, critical of the devotees and of the Lord. Or of the Lord, either one. And this comes from a verse in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which explains how such a person should deal with those four classes. Namely, the personality of Godhead should be worshipped with love, prema. And the devotees should be treated with friendship. The innocent should be given mercy. And the envious should be avoided. So, as somebody playing the role of a preacher, Lord Chaitanya exemplified, which is to say one who's acting as if in the second stage of spiritual knowledge, Madhyama Adhikara, he exemplified that behavior by avoiding Mayavadis. And Prabhupada writes, preacher of the Krishna consciousness movement should generally not waste his time talking with Mayavadis and Nasis. But then he makes the point, when there are arguments on the basis of Shastra, Vaishnava must come forward to talk and defeat them in philosophy. And in this chapter 7, we'll learn from the original teacher, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how to defeat Mayavadi philosophy. Many, many points that Lord Chaitanya makes in this chapter, and we'll have the good fortune of being able to go through them one after another. Those are some thoughts on this verse in purport. I guess we can go on to the next one. So we're on 7:68 if you're following along. Sanyasi ha'iya kara nartana gayana bhavuka sabha sange ai kara sankirtana. You are a sannyasi. Why then do you indulge in chanting and dancing, engaging in your sankirtan movement in the company of fanatics? This is a challenge by Prakashananda Saraswati to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhashya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the object of Vedanta philosophical research, has very kindly determined who is an appropriate candidate for Vedanta studies. The first qualification of such a candidate is expressed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastra. Nalapi sunichena toro eva sahishnuna manina ma dena Kirtaniya Sadaharihi. This statement indicates that one can hear or speak about Vedanta lastly through the disciplic succession. One must become very humble and meek, more tolerant than a tree, more humble than the grass. One should not claim respect for himself, but should be prepared to give all respect to others. One must have these qualifications, be eligible to understand Vedic knowledge. That reminds me of a verse from Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita 13:8. Man nitvam adambitvam himsam shantam arjanam tvayapasamam socham styram atman nivigraha. So that's the beginning of Krishna's list of items of knowledge. And the first one is that amanitvam, which is similar to the word Bengali, the word used here, amanina. That actually sounds good too, isn't it? Yeah, so amanitvam and amanina basically the same, come from the same, have the same meaning. Pridelessness. Humility, pridelessness. The verse begins with humility and pridelessness. Manitvam, humility, and adambitvam, pridelessness. But these are the first two items of knowledge. So it's funny because sometimes you meet people who are proud of their knowledge, but according to Krishna, that's an oxymoron. Because if somebody is proud, it means they don't have any knowledge. So somebody who's proud of their knowledge is actually an illusion, because they actually don't have any knowledge, because one who's in knowledge is actually humble. So it's an interesting point that could be made. So not only does Lord Chaitanya advocate humility, but the very first item, first two items of knowledge given by Lord Krishna are amanitvam, humility, adambitvam, pridelessness. So we have to be humble, admitting that we don't actually know the absolute truth, and then hear from somebody who does know the absolute truth, who can present the Vedanta as Vedanta is. So continuing, Vedanta Patan Jnana Sanyasira Dharma Tachari Karakena Avukera Karma. Meditation and the study of Vedanta are the sole duties of the sannyasi. Why do you abandon these to dance with fanatics? Therefore, as explained in regard to verse 41, my body sannyasis do not approve of chanting and dancing. Kashananda Saraswati, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, misunderstood Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be a misled young sannyasi, and therefore he asked him why he indulged in the association of fanatics instead of executing the duty of sannyasi. Prabhave de kiya toma sakshat narayana hinata karakena hiteki. Karana, you look as brilliant as if you were Narayan himself. Will you kindly explain the reason that you've adopted the behavior of lower class people? For due to renunciation, Vedic study, meditation, and strict regular principles of their daily routine, my vine sannyasis were certainly in a position to execute pious activities. Thus, Prakashananda Saraswati, on account of his piety, could understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not an ordinary person, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sakshad Narayana considered him to be Narayana himself. Vaivadi sannyasis address one another as Narayana because they think they are all going to be Narayana or merge with Narayana in the next life. Prakashananda Saraswati appreciated that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would already directly become Narayana, did not need to wait to his next life. One difference between Vaishnava and Mayavadi philosophies is that the Mayavadi philosophers think that after giving up their bodies, they're going to become Narayana by merging with his body. As Vaishnava philosophers understand that after the body dies, they're going to have a transcendental spiritual body in which to associate. That's a nice point. The Srila Prabhupada makes, draws a distinction between the goal of the Mayavadi sannyasis and the goal of the Vaishnava sannyasis. Mayavadi sannyasis is inspired to become one with God by merging with his body. Whereas the Vaishnava philosophers understand they're going to have a spiritual body in which to associate. The idea is that the impersonally consider oneself one with Narayan. Is best a partial realization. But to actually serve the Supreme Personality, Lord Narayan, is a superior realization. The realization of Bhagavan, and it affords the servant great transcendental bliss, which is available by serving the Lord, which the Mayavadi sannyasis don't actually believe in or know about, and therefore they don't aspire for it. Continuing, verse 71, Prabhukha he shuna shripad ihara karana guru mora murka teki karya shashana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, Prakashananda Saraswati, my dear sir, kindly hear the reason. My spiritual master considered me a fool, and therefore he chastised me. When Prakashananda Saraswati inquired from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu why he neither studied Vedanta or performed meditation, Lord Chaitanya presented himself as fool number one in order to indicate that in the present age, Kali Yuga, is the age of fools and rascals in which it's not possible to attain perfection simply by reading Vedanta philosophy and meditating. The Shastras strongly recommend Harinam, 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 Ayave Kevalam, Lona Shteva, Nashteva, Nashteva, Gatir, Anyata. In this age of poor and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy names of the Lord. There's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way. People in general in Kali Yuga are so fallen that it's not possible for them to obtain perfection simply by studying the Vedanta Sutra. Therefore, seriously take to the constant chanting of the holy name. Of course, that's one of many, many verses stressing that in this age the Lord is attained through the chanting of His holy name. There's a verse that goes, Kritayam jayato vishnu chaitayam yajato makai dvarparam paritaryam lo tadari kirtana. That perfection attainable in the age of Krita or Sati Yuga by meditation, Treta Yuga by sacrifice, and Dvapara Yuga by deity worship, it is available in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. And this verse from the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam by Shukadeva Goswami in the Maharaj Pariksit. Kalair Dosha Nidhe Rajan. This age of Kali is an ocean of faults, O King. Asti Heko Mahan Gunan. But there is one good quality. Kirtanad eva Krishnasya. By constantly glorifying the name of Krishna, Mukta Sangha Param Vrajat, one can attain the supreme liberation. And then there's one very important verse from the Kali Santaranya Upanishad, the conversation between Lord Brahma and Narada Muni, where Narada Muni inquired about the best religious principle. Of Kali, and Lord Brahma replied, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Iti Sudashakam Nam Nam, these 16 names, Kali Kamasha Mashanam, destroy all the impurities of this age of Kali. Nataparatro Paya, you will find a superior process. Sarva Vedesha Drishati. If you look through all the Vedas. So it's very definitive conclusion in the Shastra that the holy in the age of Kali perfection is obtained only by the chanting of the holy name. And Lord Chaitanya will emphasize this and explain this more and more in the coming verses. Mrka tumi toma nahika Vedanta Vedanta adhikar Krishna mantra japasara Imantra star. You are a fool, he said. You are not qualified to study Vedanta philosophy. Therefore, you must always chant the holy name of Krishna. This is the essence of all mantras. Bhakti Saraswati Goswami Maharaj comments in this connection, one can become perfectly successful in his mission of life if he acts exactly according to the words he hears from the mouth of his spiritual master. Acceptance of the words of the spiritual master is called Shota Vakya, which indicates that the disciple must carry out the spiritual master's instruction without deviation. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur remarked from this connection, then the disciple must accept the words of his spiritual master as his life and soul. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here confirms this by saying that since the spiritual master had ordered him only to chant the holy name of Krishna, he always chanted the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra according to his direction. Krishna Mantra Japa Sara E Mantra Sara. Krishna is the origin of everything. Therefore, when a person is fully Krishna conscious, it is to be understood that his relationship with Krishna has been fully confirmed. Lacking Krishna consciousness, one is only partially related with Krishna and is therefore not in his constitutional position. Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the spiritual master of the entire universe, he nonetheless took the position of a disciple in order to teach by example how a devotee should strictly follow the orders of a spiritual master in executing the duty of always chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. One who is very much attracted to the study of Vedanta philosophy must take lessons from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this age, no one is actually competent to study Vedanta. And therefore, it is better that one chant the holy name of the Lord, which is the essence of all Vedic knowledge. As Krishna himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Vedaita sarvar aham eva vedyo, Vedanta vedavit eva chaham. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of Vedanta. Only fools give up the service of the spiritual master and think themselves advanced in spiritual knowledge. In order to detect such fools, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself presented the perfect example of how to be a disciple. The spiritual master knows very well how to engage each disciple in a particular duty. But if a disciple thinking himself more advanced than a spiritual master gives up his orders and acts independently, he checks his own spiritual progress. Every disciple must consider himself completely unaware of the science of Krishna. You must always be ready to carry out the orders of the spiritual master to become competent in Krishna consciousness. A disciple should always remain a fool before a spiritual master. Therefore, sometimes pseudo spiritualists accept the spiritual master is not even fit to become a disciple. They want to keep him under their control. This is useless for spiritual realization. This is a very important purport. We learn here that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although the personality of Godhead, took the role of a disciple to show how important it is to carefully act according to the words of one's spiritual master. And his guru told him to always chant the name of Krishna. And because it was the essence of all mantras, and Lord Chaitanya did all his chant. Sometimes people are doubtful why they should accept the Skosh match. That's another reason why Lord Chaitanya accepted the spiritual master. That he wanted to show it's so important even though he was God himself and knew everything. Not just to teach the importance of accepting the spiritual master. He accepted the spiritual master. And to teach the behavior of a disciple, he acted perfectly according to the order of the spiritual master. So we can learn from this that we should accept a spiritual master and we should follow his order. And there's an important point Prabhupada makes here, that every disciple must consider himself completely unaware of the science of Krishna. Must always be ready to carry out the orders of the spiritual master, become competent in Krishna consciousness. So the disease is, if we get a little bit of knowledge, we think we've understood things. And we think we've understood them as good as or better than our spiritual master. So then we act independently. Then we fall away from the path of devotional service. But if we always think, actually, I don't know anything about spiritual life, I'm just going to do what my guru said. He told me to chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra. He told me to stay away from these four simple activities. And he said, if I do this my whole life, I'll attain perfection. So no matter what happens, we're just going to do these things. Every day I'm going to chant 16 rounds. Try to pay attention, and I'm going to stay away from these illicit sex, meat eating, and intoxication. And then, if one humbly has that attitude, then by the power of the holy name, we become very, very pure and elevated in Krishna consciousness in this very life. Srila Prabhupada considered the holy name was so powerful that if one simply avoided these four simple acts and chanted with attention and an attempt to give up the offenses, that in one life he could become so free from material contamination, he would be completely eligible to go back to Godhead. Practically guaranteed that. There's different quotes where Prabhupada said that precisely. Sometimes people quote. Continuing, one who perfectly knows Krishna consciousness cannot know Vedanta. Sorry, one who imperfectly knows Krishna consciousness cannot know Vedanta philosophy. A showy display of Vedanta study without Krishna consciousness is a feature of the external energy mind. And as long as one is attracted by the inebrities of this ever-changing material energy, he deviates from devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The actual follower of Vedanta philosophy is the devotee of Lord Vishnu, who is the greatest of the great and the maintainer of the entire universe. As one surpasses the field of activities in service to the limited, one cannot reach the unlimited. Knowledge of the unlimited is actual Brahma-jnana, the knowledge of the Supreme. Those who are addicted to the fruit of activities in speculative knowledge cannot understand the value of the holy name of Lord Krishna, which is always completely pure, eternally liberated, and full of spiritual. And has taken shelter of the holy name of the Lord, which is identical with the Lord. Does not have to study Vedanta philosophy, for he has already completed such a study. Reminds us of the verse, Avanam Janmanam Yat, Avanam Janmanam Ante Yanavan Mam Padite Vasudev Savamiti Samaha Sadurabaha. One who's, through many, many births, one who is complete in knowledge understands Vasudev to be everything. Such a great soul is there in here. So Krishna Vasudev is everything, and one who chants the holy name of the Lord, understanding that Krishna is everything, is actually a knowledge. One who is unfit to chant the holy name of Krishna but thinks that the holy name is different from Krishna must take shelter of Vedanta study in order to understand and must be considered fool number one, as confirmed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by his personal behavior. And philosophical speculators who want to make Vedanta philosophy an academic career are also considered to be within the material energy. The person who always chants the holy name of the Lord, however, is already beyond the ocean of nations. And thus, even a person born in a low family engages in chanting the holy name of the Lord is considered to be beyond the study of Vedanta philosophy. In this connection, Srimad Bhagavatam 3.37 states, Ho bhatas papacho to gavayanya jiva kailaja te nama tuyam vipastitapate tu vashasvaya vamanu vachuryama nama vamana vamana If a person born in a family of dog eaters takes for the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, it's to be understood that in his previous life he must have executed all kinds of austerities and penances, performed all the Vedic yajnas. Another quotation states, Rigveda ta yajurveta samaveda pratava vana aditas tena yok yenoktam harir yakshram jaya. The person who chants the two syllables Hari has already studied the four Vedas, Sama, Rik, Yajur, and Atharva. Taking advantage of these verses, there's some Sahajiyas who taking everything cheaply, consider themselves elevated Vaishnavas but do not touch the Vedanta Sutra or Vedanta philosophy. The real Vaishnava should, however, study Vedanta philosophy, but if after studying Vedanta one does not adopt the chanting in the holy name of the Lord, he is no better than Mayavadi. Therefore, one should not be a Mayavadi, and one should not be unaware of the subject matter of Vedanta philosophy. Indeed, Lord Chaitanya exhibited his knowledge of Vedanta in his discourses, Prakashananda Saraswati, as it is be understood that a Vaishnava should be completely conversant with Vedanta philosophy, but he should not think studying Vedanta is all in all, and therefore be unattached to chanting. Bodhi must know the importance of simultaneously studying Vedanta philosophy and chanting the holy names. By studying Vedanta, one becomes an impersonalist. He's not been able to understand Vedanta. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15.15. Vedanta means the end of knowledge. The ultimate end of knowledge is knowledge of Krishna, who is identical with his holy name. Chief Vaishnava Sajivas do not care to study Vedanta philosophy, as commented upon by the four Acharyas. In the Gaudiya Sampradaya, there is a Vedanta commentary called the Govinda Bhashya. Sajjis consider such commentaries to be untouchable philosophical speculation, and they consider the Acharyas to be mixed devotees. Thus, they clear their way to hell. So, in conclusion, we should be aware of the actual philosophy of Vedanta, and we should be enthusiastic, chant the holy name, because one who understands that Krishna is the goal. And Krishna is not indifferent from his name, knows that he can fully realize Krishna simply by the process of his chanting holy name, which will purify oneself from all material contamination and allow him to experience the personality of Godhead through purified senses. So, continue our reading of Chaitanya Charitamrita next time, which should be tomorrow. Thank you for your attention. Divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Oh.